trying this table thing out today. I don't know how I feel yet. I don't know how I feel. I'm still trying to, I'm not sure if I want to pull it back, if I want to push it forward, put it to the side. Pastor Luke's always like, he picks it up from the middle, like takes it like way over here. You know what I mean? He's like over here with it, and he likes to really work the stage. I'm exaggerating, of course. But anyways, in Psalm 65:11, this is what it says. It says, "You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance." My goodness, what a verse that is full of the hope that we have as the body of Christ. I forgot about this verse until I was just sitting there on the front row. And so praise God for the Holy Spirit. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament. Maybe you're familiar with the verse that says, "No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be shown to be in the wrong. This is your heritage as people of God." Well, it's that chapter, and we hear that verse a lot. But at the beginning in verse number one, it says, "Sing, O barren." Kind of a little bit different, but "Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare." I believe that's a word for somebody here today. Do not spare. Don't withhold. Don't be afraid to get a little bit risky for Jesus this year. Don't be afraid today to go ahead and step out, because God wants to do some cool things. He says, "Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." Oh my goodness, what a power-packed portion of scripture that is full of hope for your future. Now, you might be thinking today, like, "Pastor Joe, like, I'm a dude, and so I'm not really hopeful about bearing children," like it said right there. But you understand that God has called us to bear fruit. Don't you? You understand today that God has called us to produce. You understand today that God has not called you spiritually to be barren. What? It's a miserable life to live when you are producing nothing. And God is calling you this year to begin to produce some cool things. Anybody out there want to produce some fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, come on, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And then we find a little bit later on in the New Testament, Paul talks about how he has literally given birth to these people that he has brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is endeavoring that Christ be formed in them. And I wonder if there's any people here that have an outlook on this next year, that God wants to use your life to reach more people than you've ever reached before, to see more people by your mouth and by your hands and by your feet come into the kingdom of God and come into the family of God and get saved and get restored, come on, and get set free and get the Holy Ghost and get baptized and find themselves a home church and on their way with God. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? Because I feel a bit more excited. This is what God has for our future and for your future this next year of 2017. I believe this is going to be a year that is blessed, as we just read here in these few verses. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to kick off this series. We're just going to call it our Grow series. If you were here this last weekend, you heard from Pastor Dan, and he brought, you know, the word of God for our church this year. And the word was grow. And he talked about how God has called us and wants us to grow in our giving, right? He wants us to grow in our relationships. Ooh, I like that one. He wants us to grow in our outreach. He wants us to grow in our worship. And man, there's a great many things that came out of that. That's just kind of a basic overview. If you missed it, I encourage you to get the podcast, because Pastor Dan was preaching up a storm. And it was good. But you know what? God wants you to grow this year. God wants you, as we just read, he wants you to enlarge. He wants you to expand to the right and to the left. He wants you to take dominion. He's got good things for you. And so I guess really what tonight, I just want to kind of generally talk about growing and what it means to grow and how to grow really tonight. And I'm really believing that it's going to be a blessing to you to change your perspective if you're not already coming in with a hopeful attitude about your 2017. So with that said, I want to take you to a story in Luke chapter 24. If you brought your Bibles, you can turn there with me. And it's a really cool story. And it's a story where we're going to find the end of a season, or maybe I should say a season come to an end and a new season begin. And I really like the story, and I believe you'll like it too. And as you see what it's all about here, I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. But you know, there's a season that comes to an end, and the way that it comes to an end is not very good, at least in the eyes of the people whose lives are a part of this story. And today, I don't know what you know your 2016 has been like. Who knows? What is today? Is today like, oh, today's the 13th. They're all having fun, like, ooh, shift is starting on Friday the 13th. You know, and so, I don't know even know what the first 13 days of the year, you know, has been like for you. But once again, we need to come with an attitude of faith and an attitude of hope. With the perspective that God's going to do something cool in our lives. And so we're going to see in just a moment, for these people, they had a difficult ending of a season. But it gave birth to an even greater season. And so here we find in Luke chapter 24, let's just go ahead and read beginning with verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 5. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." It says that then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. Anybody found themselves greatly perplexed? I found myself greatly perplexed literally like an hour and a half ago. Like, what just happened? I'm about to lose my mind. They found themselves greatly perplexed. And it says here, it says about this, "And behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." It says, "Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee.'" And so tonight, how to grow. Number one is this: you've got to develop a faith-filled perspective. And as you look right here in verse number five, maybe you want to underline this little phrase, because I think it's so cool, this question that the angel asks to Jesus' followers. He says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" You see, they had a wrong perspective. They were coming to the tomb expecting to find the dead body of the Lord Jesus. They came and they had their spices, and they're going to take some time to mourn and remember. Their perspective was that, you know what, this great Jesus that we love so much, well, he's dead now. It's over. I mean, it was wonderful to walk with him. It was wonderful to talk with him. We watched the miracles take place. We watched the people that were healed, the people that were raised from the dead. We heard the words of his mouth that caused our hearts to burn within us and brought us the things of the kingdom of God. But all that's over now. And they've come looking for a Jesus that's alive, but in their minds is dead. Their perspective was wrong. And I wonder how much perspective really affects our lives, and how much your perspective is going to affect your 2017. Because see, if you want to grow, the reality is that you're going to have to develop a faith-filled perspective. One that says, hey, you know what? I realize that some ugly things have taken place in my life. I realize that 2016 hasn't been everything that I wanted it to be. But that aside, here's what the Bible says. And here's what God has said about my life. And here's what God has said about my year. And so I'm going to acknowledge the facts over here, but I'm going to follow faith this way. And I'm going to allow faith to take me where God wants me to go. You see, a wrong perspective will take you to wrong places. It will cause you to come to wrong conclusions. With the wrong perspective, you run the risk of missing out on what God has for your life. and they almost missed it. Had it not been for the angel who was like, hey, and actually if you read the other gospels, you'll find the same story. And they're like, hey, he's actually alive and he's going before you into Galilee. So go tell the disciples. Go tell them. They needed a little bit of help with this whole Jesus rising from the dead thing. Actually, you'll read a little bit later on in verses 10 through 12. It says, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And watch what it says. And it says, and their words seemed like idle tales. And they did not believe them. They did not believe. Their perspective was off. Their perspective was wrong. They were looking for a dead Jesus when all the while he was alive. They saw him. They saw him crucified. They saw, you know, the horrors that took place that day. And so their conclusion was like, what was that it was all over. When in reality, Jesus had just won the greatest victory that the world would ever see. This was the greatest upset humanity could ever, you know, could ever see, could ever visualize, could ever experience. Jesus, here they thought he was dead and really he was alive, and here they thought it was over and really Jesus had risen from the grave victorious over sin and death. Come on, somebody. Ephesians tells us, and he was raised and seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and everything on earth and everything in heaven and everything under the earth has been placed under his feet. Now at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. This greatest victory, and they were about to miss it. And my encouragement for you today in this first point is that you and I need to see our 2017 through the lens of the victory of Jesus Christ. We need to see our 2017 in the lens that, you know what? Jesus has already conquered all of my foes. Jesus has already conquered all of my brokenness. Jesus has already conquered all of my addictions. Jesus has already conquered all of my doubts. Jesus has already conquered all of my fears. Jesus has already conquered every person that could come against me. And so I'm going to go into this 2017, and I'm going to go into it with a faith-filled perspective that God is going to do something great, because there is absolutely no reason why I can't live out my life in a way of victory. So their perspective had to get kind of tweaked, and thank God it did. I love what the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 20. I'll switch gears here just for a moment and tell you a little bit about Abraham, because Abraham had some disappointments in his life. Abraham had some some obstacles that stood in his way. But I love his perspective. And the Bible makes it very clear. See, Abraham could have sat back and he could have sat there and he could have bemoaned, if you will, the fact that he was old now. His time for bearing children, his time to have offspring had passed. He could have sat there and he could have complained and he could have been mad at God and he could have been all this guy. You know, here I am, I married this beautiful woman, but her beauty was just a curse because she was barren. And he could have been mad and frustrated and all this kind of stuff. But if you guys could pop it up for me, because I don't have it on my notes. Romans 4, it says, and not being weak in faith, it says he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Since he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And so one more time, I'm wondering, do I have any young adults in the room who are here to say, you know what, there have been some things in my life, some disappointments, some hang-ups, some hurts. People have done some things to me, and I'm here to say, I'm here to acknowledge that those things happen. But once again, I'm going to leave those to the side. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to follow faith just like Abraham, and so I can follow God right into my blessing. He had a perspective that God's word was true, that he could trust God's word. And what happened in the end, God's word came through. So how to grow? I have to have a faith-filled perspective. Number two today, I cannot bemoan my disappointments. Can we all be honest? Everybody likes to have a good pity party. Thank you, Brian, for that. Yup, I'm right with you, bro. We all like to have a good pity party. And the flesh will scream and beat the floor and just throw a fit. You need a pity party. And so what do? We're all hurt and we're all disappointed and we're angry. And so we go ahead and throw our pity party. And you know what happens after we're done having a pity party? We want to have another one. Pity parties don't help. I'm not talking about comfort. I'm not talking about a time, of being honest and having somebody hear you out and comfort you, because that's all part, that's all in the Word of God. I'm not talking about, but some of us, we bemoan and we moan and we groan and we just keep on one day after the next week, after the next month. And here we are 5 years later and we're still crying about the same thing. Come on, we're people of God. And these things shouldn't last sometimes as long as they do. I have to be honest. I'm talking to myself today. My wife, she's smiling on the front row because she knows the last 2 days we've been fighting. Why? Because I've been hung up on some disappointments. They have nothing to do with our marriage. It's funny how disappointments can creep their way into other areas of your life and cause havoc. And so here I am and I'm angry. I'm like, you don't listen to me. You don't care about me. These pity parties, and we go to these crazy extremes. You always and you never, and you hate me. And the next thing you know, the pastor is evil and God deceived us, and now I want to be an atheist and all this kind of, amen. And so we find a little bit later on now in verse number 17, Luke 24, 17, and actually before I read it, so it makes sense, let me just tell you, so the story kind of skips from Jesus' followers who had gone to the tomb and his disciples now onto a couple others who had left or were actually leaving the area. And I like the story so much. It's a beautiful story of these two. They've left the area and Jesus kind of, just comes in onto the scene and they don't even recognize it's him. And so we pick up and it says, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Now, granted, this was only 3 days after Jesus had died, okay? So if you've lost a loved one, it's probably a little bit abnormal for you to have already done all of your mourning 3 days later, okay? But at any rate, I think the principle is true that sometimes we're having these conversations and we're walking and we're sad and we're all for too long. It says, then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. And so today, we've got to be careful not to, as U2 says, get stuck in our moments. What? Oh, she looked like she wanted to say something. Come up here, Hannah. You can help me breathe. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe she was saying amen. Sorry, you caught me off guard. We get stuck in our moments, And I remember one time I was having a real hard time. This is back in years ago. I was having a real hard time and God really brought me out of this, depression that I had slipped into. And, the next thing I know, I'm free. Praise God. But then I'm turning on music and I'm having conversations and that are pulling me back. I remember God telling me, you want to go back? Oh, no, I don't. Some of you here today, my heart is so broken and all that. No, God healed you a long time ago. You just keep on going back to it and stirring up the hurt and stirring up the pain. You just need to get over it. God bless you. We love you and we'll help you, but come on, it's just time to get over it. So how to grow? Number three, know that a closed door is as good as an open one. Know that a closed door is as good as an open one. I like how they say here at the end, it says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping this Jesus was going to, his deeds were mighty, his words were mighty, it was super cool. He was confounding the wise and the religious and the rulers of the day. And so we were just hoping that he was going to take over. That's what our Old Testament told us. But it didn't happen. Now he's dead. But sometimes a closed door is as good as an open one. Might I even say, a closed door will lead you to an even better open door than you were hoping that closed door was going to lead you. Because you see, let me put it this way. I'll take a closed door with Jesus before I'll ever take an open one without him. And they wanted this one thing, and God had a different plan in mind. You know, I will take Jesus crucified and resurrected, right, and ascended into heaven, and I can live my life here however long that is, and then I can die, and I can go on to be with him forever over Jesus taking over here on the earth. Because you see, without his death and without his burial and resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no eternal life. There is no Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. And they were hoping for one thing when God had another thing in mind, and God's idea was a whole lot better than theirs. So sometimes a closed door is as good as an open one, and in fact, it will lead you to an even better door than that closed one. You know, whatever you're expecting to happen through that closed one. And I like that statement so much. I'll take a closed door with Jesus before I ever take an open one without him. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament, and you find Moses, and they have an opportunity to go into the promised land. And God's like, hey, you know what? I'm tired of all you guys. You guys are stiff-necked people. Always dealing with you, and you never get it. And so, you know what? I gave you my promise. I'm going to stay true to my word. So here's what I'll do. If you want, I'll just send an angel before you into the promised land, and he'll go out and he'll drive out all your enemies, and you can have the milk, you can have the honey. I don't even care. Right? Sounds like kind of like a sad love song. I don't ever want to see you again. No, I'm just kidding. All right. And Moses' response is so cool because he says, God, I will stay here in the desert. He says, God, do not let us go into the promised land without your presence. Don't take us up from here, this desert place, without your presence. And you know what? Today, maybe some of you are in a desert place in your life, and you're looking for God to move you on. I've been single for 2.5 years. I mean, come on, Jesus. And you're ready to move on and progress in your life. And you, don't you know the devil's going to send you some opportunities? It got quiet in this Pentecostal church. He's going to send you opportunities. And you and I need to understand in God's timing, God's place. And finally today, how to grow. It's really simple. Be blessed. I like how this story ends. Jesus sets him straight. And it's really cool. You have to read it later on. He actually goes all the way to the dinner table before these two recognize it's him. And he breaks bread, and all of a sudden the Bible says, and their eyes were open, and he vanished. And then he met up with them later on with the other disciples, and he said, you know, put your hands in the holes in my hand, and hey, listen, it's me. I've risen from the dead. And the Bible says he went through the scriptures and opened them up to what had actually taken place. And then it says in verse number 50, after he had shared these things with them, after he had eaten with them, it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Let me get the band up here. It says, now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. He blessed them. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. You know, we find in Psalms 115, verses 12 through 15. Let me just read this real quick. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. Do you know today that God has you on his mind? Do you know today that God truly cares about every detail of your life? He knows what's going on. He's mindful of us. And it says, he will bless us. He will bless us. Not he might. Not sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. No, he will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Hey, everybody is included in God's blessing. As long as you're a child of God, which we'll take care of in just a moment. Okay? It says, may the Lord give increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. I love Mark chapter 10, verse number 16, because here we see Jesus in action actually doing this. And talking about some little children. My goodness, if he will do it for some little children, don't you know he will do it for you? It says, and he took them up in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Here in Luke 24, it says, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And today I wanted to bless you out, if you will, of the first shift service into your 2017. We're going to have some prayer people come up here, and we're going to lay hands on you just like we see Jesus doing, and we're going to ask God to bless you. That's what he did before he left. He blessed them. Now, here's what blessing is. Okay, Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 10:22 that the blessing of God makes us rich. And this blessing of God does not add sorrow to our life. You know, there's some things you can go after, you know, and they seem really good and they seem really nice. And then as soon as you get a hold of them, man, it's like they start just causing trouble in your life. Not so with the blessing of God. The blessing of God is such that it's a thing that will cause you to prosper. Maybe more specifically, the blessing of God is God's favor on your life to flourish spirit, soul, and body. Come on, we're talking about growing here tonight. And we're talking about how you're going to grow this next year. You're going to grow through God's blessing. His favor upon your life to cause you to flourish spirit, soul, and body. Does anybody here want to flourish? Does anybody here want to prosper? Does anybody here, come on, I mean, we read also in Ephesians 1, chapter 3, it says, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse number 3, it says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We're blessed, spirit, soul, and body. Maybe you're here today and like we said, you've got a broken heart. You've got hurts. You've got hangups. You've got disappointments. I'm here to tell you today that God's blessing will set you free, will heal you, and get you on your way. And you know, I think it's also cool that that verse in Proverbs talking about, you know, the blessing of the Lord will make a person rich. It's talking about money. Any young adults out there need some money? Say, Trey's got it. He's like, amen, Jesus. God wants you. And you know what? This is not so that, you know, we could be greedy and we could be covetous and we can be idolaters and get everything that our little greedy little hands desire. No, it's blessed so that I can have an abundance in life and that I am blessed to be a blessing. Come on, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. But the only way you're going to give is if you got something in your bank account. Come on, somebody. And I believe that God's calling you to reach out and to bless other people. You know, I also believe, as we said earlier, that God is calling you to reach out and to touch other people's lives for the kingdom's sake. There are people dying and going to hell every single day. My goodness, no pastoral staff on any church can do it. It's going to happen. People are going to get saved, and the lost will come into knowing Jesus Christ as the body of Christ are equipped, and then they go out and they open up their mouths and they preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get people saved. That's you. That's you today. I don't know, maybe one of your New Year's resolutions could be, God, I just resolve that I'm going to get this many people saved this year. Actually, he does the saving, but you understand. God, I want to see this many people healed this year. God, I want to see this many people restored this year. God, I want you to use me to pray for this. God, I want you to use me. Come on, somebody. That's going to happen as you are blessed. All right? So let me first do this. If you're here today, you have not yet given Jesus Christ all of your heart and all of your life. Okay? Everything that we talked